to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
They're doing it again. It was MLB.com before, had an article. Seven players who could break through and win an MVP this year. Two of them were Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. I get my daily, the Athletic Daily newsletter in my inbox 5 minutes ago, which gives you links to their big articles for the day. I love it because it just spoon feeds you stuff. The article, the last one here, top 50 potential MLB free agents for the 2025-26 offseason. Will Tucker and Bregman hit it big? That's the title of the article. Boy, I wonder where Framber is on this list, too. Framber's probably on this list also. Damn. The gods are just mean, man. You're mean. Astros lineup is out, if I can find it here, for today. This will be the lineup today, Seth, for a noon start in Tampa. Astros trying to take two out of three from the Rays. Batting, of course, Hunter Brown on the mound. Jeremy Pena batting leadoff, which he will be doing every day except for maybe one or two the rest of the year as long as he's healthy. He'll get a day's rest at some time in late July or August, and then he'll get another day's rest in like mid-September, and that's it.
Even so far, the only rest they've given him is when he was DH, and he's looking none the worse for wear. He seems to have hit the sweet spot where he's still young physically, but everything technically is really starting to come into focus for him.
No doubt. 302 average, 803 OPS. Isak Paredes, he of the 824 OPS. Anybody? He's batting second. 800 OPS is like sweet nectar right now. Jose Altuve is DHing today. He's batting third, 635 OPS. Yiner's back in the lineup. He's batting cleanup. Christian Walker has been pushed down in the order, which makes perfect sense because Yiner's way better than Christian Walker. Yiner's OPS is 613. Christian Walker's is 609. Their 3, 4, and 5 hitters have an OPS of somewhere combined around 620, the Astros, today.
There's no place to go but up, Sean.
Oh, my God.
I look at the record, I look at the standings, and I say, these guys can't possibly be this bad for the entire season.
They can't. We're almost 50 games. We're going to be 50 games in by this Seattle series. Jake Myers batting sixth. Cam Smith batting seventh in right field. Brendan Rodgers back in the lineup, playing second base and batting eighth. And Mauricio Dubon will get left field today. Chaz, sorry, 3 strikeouts and practically rolling a ball into home plate on the final sack fly of the game. Not enough to keep you in the lineup. Mauricio Dubon bats ninth. So there you go. There's your lineup for today. That does not inspire a ton of confidence, but you know who does, Seth? Hunter Brown. That's who inspires confidence.
Hunter Brown is, we talked kind of about the last calendar year and where he was now, but he's, you know, for this season specifically, he's definitively one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Which is, in the last calendar year, has been an extreme change. Even this time last year, he was into being the reinvented Hunter Brown, but there's not a chance in hell. If you had said, hey, look, Hunter Brown looks pretty good these last couple games, 2024 version of Seth Bain, well, what do you think the chances are he'd be second in ERA this time next year? And I'd say not a chance in hell, you idiot. Get out of my face. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what are the chances? Right. In mid-May last year, what are the chances? Someone said he's a year from now, he's going to be the best pitcher in baseball. They would be saying that to you at a time a year ago, Seth, when he was like a week removed from literally being the worst pitcher in baseball. He had an ERA of about 10. In early May a year ago. He looked terrible. He actually had to go to the bullpen for an appearance. That might have been what turned him around. He came out of the bullpen for a game in the middle of May and pitched 5 really good innings. And then he wasn't like right off to the races after that. He had a couple other starts that were just okay. But then he was off to the races. You know, like by the end of May, early June, man, Hunter Brown was it. Like he was the man, and he's been the man. Other than a couple blips here and there, he's been the man ever since. You look like you gotta look, you look like you're looking something. You got that I'm looking something up look on your face.
Oh no, no, I just Max Fried's got like a pretty authoritative lead right now on the ERA. I mean authoritative, whatever. But Hunter's actually tied with Senga at 143 ERA.
Okay, yeah. That's good. We're getting a few of these today. Okay, let me see how you feel about this. I'm having Jose Abreu as a text. I'm having Jose Abreu flashbacks with Christian Walker. Did Bagwell do this deal too? No, yeah. this is a Dana Brown. This is a Dana Brown's fingerprints on this one.
This was widely regarded as like, okay, makes sense, that price tag for that player. Yep. And he's not 49 years old and about to jump off of a cliff, belly flopping into the ocean.
Right.
And here we are watching Christian Walker belly flop into the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, wildly swinging a bat the entire time.
Yeah.
And hitting nothing.
That's exactly right. I get what you're saying, Texter. It's not been good. This is an unacceptable level of offensive productivity for Christian Walker. What I will say as far as the Abreu conversation goes, or the comparison goes, Jose Abreu was a completely useless baseball player. Like, 100% not good defensively, not productive at bats, not making contact. Christian Walker has not had many productive. Remember Jose Abreu's first season here of the two seasons, season and a half really, that he was here? It took him so long to hit a home run that when he finally hit a home run, he jokingly slid into home plate.
Remember that? Yeah, that's right.
I hated that. I'm like this. I'm like, dude, this is not funny. It's like it would have been funny if he went on to hit like 280 that year and hit 25 home runs. This is, I mean, I did. I felt like the guy who wanted to talk to the manager in a restaurant. I'm like, is this some kind of joke to you, Jose Abreu? Yeah. Sliding into home plate? You suck. You're horrible. Yeah. So I have glimmers of optimism with Christian Walker. And Christian Walker is an elite defensive player, too. He at least gives you something. You at least feel like he can throw the ball to first base, and if you're a little off target, it's like the Yuli days where you know that thing's going to get scooped out of the dirt. You know, so there is that. There is that. Someone says, call me when we're 100 games in. It's so long. It's long, but I think we need to do a circle of trust, probably heading into this Seattle series. We might need to do it tomorrow.
We'll do that tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right.
I think we'll do a circle of trust tomorrow.
We'll do a circle of trust, and then we'll be able to follow up at the end of the Seattle, you know, on Monday and see how everything went in those 4 days against a good baseball team.
Yep. This is the biggest series of the year so far coming up starting tomorrow. And it's Star Wars weekend, too, out at the yard. So there's that.
Star Wars like closer to the 4th of May? May the 4th be with you?
It's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure if they were home for that weekend. That's a really good question. I don't know. But any Star Wars nerd like me will tell you there's never a bad time for Star Wars weekend, all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
What is that? I've never been to the game on Star Wars Day at Minute Maid. Yeah. Is it, or excuse me, at Daikin?
Yeah.
Is it, like, what percent are in costume?
In costume, a small percentage. I mean,
it's still pretty small.
Yeah. Small percentage costume. Probably a lot of t-shirts.
A lot of the costumes from Star Wars aren't really conducive to our climate unless you're Princess Leia in the beginning of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Oh, no, Return of the Jedi. You're talking about when she's in the bikini?
It was Return of the Jedi. She was with Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. Laying there.
That's about it.
Other than that,
you're pretty much, there's just way too many.
Too many layers, man. You're a Wookiee. You're a Stormtrooper. Poor Seth is getting force choked right now. This is a Star Wars segment.
I think that's what it was.
He got force choked. He got force choked about Darth Vader. Hey, you mentioned this before the segment started in the break. The NFL has voted on one of the rules changes. Well, two now. As we know, we talked about earlier, they approved NFL players being allowed to play in the Olympics in 2028 for flag football. They also approved the rule, Seth, right, with the onside kick where you can now – if you're trailing in a game, it doesn't have to be in the fourth quarter. Anytime you're trailing in a game, second quarter, you can do it if you want to. You can onside kick. You have to
announce
notify.
It, of course.
Yeah.
So there's no surprise onside kicks anymore.
Right.
I guess that's. I like that they have to add that if you're trailing. I feel like that's a David Culley protection. Like just to protect coaches from themselves. We're up by.
No, but there are some. I mean, you know, look, Sean Payton used it famously in a Super Bowl. And there are some coaches,
right?
That like
they don't want
surprise.
I know. They don't want the surprise on set. Yeah, I was just.
I know. I get it. The Culley thing was funny. Yeah. That was funny because he would totally do it. Thinking. You're that team on the scoreboard, David. You're not with the Ravens anymore. All right, you're with the Texans now. So they approved that. I had heard that they were trying to. I haven't looked at the details of the onside kick thing yet. I know I read an article yesterday that they were trying to make it a little more advantageous for the kicking team because there was only a 6% recovery rate last year, and they're trying to make the play.
Everybody's just booting it out of the end zone.
Yeah, nobody's. Yeah. Well, no. The onside kick I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the kick in general, but no. They haven't changed. We haven't heard anything about them changing the spot for the normal kickoff.
Right.
Where,
oh, yeah, the touchback.
Yeah, because they're just teams, the math just works out. It's let's just kick it out and get the touchback every time.
Yep.
So they want to, they'd like to have, now that they feel like the format is safer, they'd like to have more actual kickoff
returns. Yep.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go, Taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go, Taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, Taco to go, Taco to go. $2.99.
All right, this might be the smallest circle of trust ever, someone is saying on the text page. Framber Hunter. It says Eastside Perez. I think they mean Isak. That feels like a voice-to-text issue. And then Jeremy Pena, and that's it. We'll see. It's up to Payne and Pendergast tomorrow. That's the official
Jake Myers. Has Jake Myers earned his way into a circle of trust?
Yeah.
You'll have to listen and find out.
Tune in. I think the touchback thing you're talking about, I want to say they approved that at the first
meeting. Oh, they did it already?
Okay. Yeah, they approved that already. So the touchback's already 35 yards. But now we might get more onside kicks. Exciting. In the loop is here. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula, gentlemen.
Howdy.
How are you doing?
I am terrific. How are you?
You guys are probably going to get rule changes dropped in the middle of your show.
Hot and heavy,
That's
baby.
Excitement right there.
More rule changes than you can shake a stick at.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I could shake a stick at a lot of rule changes, honestly.
There's nothing like the hip drop tackle last year caused a huge... wave of either outrage or anything else because people felt like that was one of the old wussification of football items. I don't feel like any of these rule changes are going to move the meter as much outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, on the wussification. Okay, is the banning of the tush push going to get construed by the hardo element as this is turning into a sissy sport?
I just think it's silly.
Yeah.
The play?
You think it's silly?
No, banning it. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh. What about, see, John, this is where I am on it. I think it's silly to ban it for any kind of competitive reason, but it is, I think it's a boring play. And I get why I think coaches would be reluctant to say, well, let's take this thing that a couple teams are really good at and ban it, because we don't want to run away from them being good at it.
Yeah.
Where with the owners, they're looking at the conference championship games and saying, man, those tush push plays, of which it felt like there were 15 in each game, are just boring and annoying.
Yeah, I mean, boring and annoying. Some of these reviews, instant replay. I mean, you can have a whole rabbit hole.
No, an NFL football game is never 3 hours and 15 minutes of sheer, it's a madhouse out here. Yeah. So, by the way, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Lease.
Love to hear it.
Yeah. You about to say something?
No, I'm always interested, especially for football, but all these sports, how the dichotomy of interest. Because at one point, it is a competitive sport. This is something where it is a competition. But at the same time, it's also an entertainment product. And how do they find a way to balance that? And I think Seth's point brings up that great balance there, which is, which of those do they prioritize in this moment, if indeed you view it as that kind of dichotomy?
The odds would tell you the entertainment side, because it is minus 400, the betting odds. I was a little surprised. The odds were, I don't know if you guys get the same subscriptions that we do in terms of odds on things like this.
Like the odds that had Espada as the 10th most likely to be the next
be fired first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 25-1. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The proposal to reseed or to seed the playoffs based on record sounds like, at least according to the odds and some of the people that I'm seeing sort of predict, educated predictions, that feels like a long shot right now. And if you had told me beforehand, not looking at either, which one would get passed and which one would get, which... I would guess it'd be the other way around with the tush push in this one. The seeding of the playoffs feels like a no-brainer because that's not a player safety thing. I mean, unless you consider that this reduces the chances of you being able to rest guys in week 18, a safety issue. A safety issue, then that might be a thing. But there's no – this is about – that rule is more about having more compelling matchups and fairness. Mm-hmm. If, you know, if you believe that the division title should be mm-hmm. prioritized, but not to that degree where you're getting a home game automatically.
Yeah, and I mean, to make it more simple, because you did kind of talk about a more compelling matchup, it's a money proposition, mm-hmm. right? This is something where in the next few years when they're getting to a place where they want to sell these TV packages again, the idea that and the notion that, hey, week 16, week 17, week 18 are that much more compelling because we have more things on the line.
There you go.
Seems like the thrust of what's going on there, and that's obviously why, in my opinion, the NFL league office is trying to push it. The question I have, being a huge hoop head, seeing the way that the NBA went when they kind of disincentivized folks to care mm-hmm. about divisions, is did that then take away, you know, that level of rivalry, that level of interest in those particular matchups? And in football, that matters so much.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. I think
the biggest difference between football and basketball is we did the numbers yesterday. Football, 32% of your games are against divisional mm-hmm. opponents, where in basketball, it's like 19% of your games.
Yeah.
It's you're just not playing. You play the entire conference pretty much as much as you do your divisional opponents.
Yep, I would agree with that.
The people want to know, I'm sure.
What is the question of the day?
Yeah, they
sure want to know.
Always want to know. What should be banned?
The spirit of the tush push? Okay.
And that's not just sports.
Anywhere.
I'll lay one out for you to get y'all's juices flowing.
Okay.
If there are people on an elevator, you should not be allowed to stick an arm or a leg through between the doors to open it again.
Oh.
That's so infuriating.
Okay.
I think
I've done that this week.
If it's empty, have at it.
Oh, I did it. It was empty. You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it's empty, have at it.
Yeah.
If there are people, because everybody is judging you immediately.
I'm more likely to let it go just because I don't have to be on an elevator.
Exactly.
With yeah.
Now, are you talking about if the person outside the elevator sticks theirs in?
Yes, yes.
And you're on the elevator, you feel put out that person's delaying you?
Absolutely.
Oh,
an extra 15 seconds.
You're grumpy.
You don't judge people when that happens?
No.
No, not at all.
I'm usually the guy holding the door open, though, yeah.
Yeah, like, I usually feel guilty if I can't get my leg there first. You know when you see somebody rushing towards the elevator and you don't, and you make eye contact?
Yeah.
And then it feels I just sat there and did nothing.
That's like a little bit of evil.
So you are one of those people that if you're making eye contact, Lopez, you just wave at them and say, see
No,
you
I feel salute. Like Lopez is a bridge further. Lopez is the dude who looks like he's holding the door open sign, and he's hitting the door close sign.
Oh,
right. Wait a second. Why? See, even the fact that you're that way, how is it evil that I'm sitting there looking, making eye contact?
No, I said when you do that and you're on the elevator, that's you're letting out a little bit of your evil.
No, I'm saying I'm on the elevator. I make eye contact with a person, but I don't react in time, and I feel awful.
No, that's fine. But what I'm saying is there are people.
You're the evil one.
That's right.
Yeah, you look at that person and just. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But like if you're outside and there's people on the elevator, you should not be allowed to stick an arm or a leg in there.
Okay, so that would be your rule. You would ban that. You would make that a crime.
Yeah.
That was the number one seat, huh?
That's it.
I would get on every plane, take out whatever screwdriver I need, and make sure that seats could no longer be pushed back 3 inches that they're allowed back when people feel like they need to relax. Yeah. There would be no more in my world. Seats on an airplane would be at the angle they're at, and that's where they're staying.
Yes,
because
sir.
Whatever benefit that person is getting laying backwards is far superseded by the inconvenience of their chair being plunked into my lap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know what I'm going to put into legislation, Sean?
Yeah.
Junior Senator, is this, that when you're on a plane and there's a tight connection and the flight attendant gets on the intercom and says, hey, we have some people with tight connections. Yeah. Please don't stand up until they make their way through.
Yeah.
If you don't have a tight connection and you stand up and block their way, you get shot in the head. Dead.
Go.
Dead. You're impeding the progress of America.
I was going to ban them for 6 months from the airline, Seth. Your solution is a little extreme. Shooting.
Shot dead.
I would say, too, if you're one of the
flight attendant has like a 9mm.
That's what Marshall's for, clearly.
I would say, most of mine are airline related. Along those lines, forget about if there's that overhead warning, not warning, but like the disclaimer that comes down and says, hey, stay out of the way. The one Seth just said, if there's not that and people are just getting up and getting off of a normal flight, you have 15 seconds at most to get down from the overhead, whatever's in the overhead.
Yes.
These people that take a minute and a half to get their bags and jimmy their hips the right way and everything else. And you know what? Yes, we'll shoot them too.
Yes.
Gracious. All right.
And a real quick, another quick one. I don't want to overly legislate the league here on rule change day, I do feel for the if what we're doing, if we ban the tush push because we want more entertaining football, then they need to ban running the ball on third and long just for field position. The throwaway third and long draw, ban it and or shoot the coach in the head if he calls it.
There's a lot of shooting going on here.
I was waiting for when that would come into play, so I appreciate you delivering that.
That's what the fans want to do to their coach.
Yes.
So just save the coach from himself. Yeah. Save him a bullet to the head. Save the taxpayer dollars, too. The three or four pennies for the lead.
Favorite text of the day so far, just simple. John Lopez, an a-hole.
I texted him back. I said, either that or just honest.
Or just honest. Oh, yeah.
Probably both.
Yeah, they're coming in already, fellas. I need to tell you.
Our work here is done.
Hey, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Antibodies and a bullet in your brain, too.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay. All right. Barring that, I will be here tomorrow to do a circle of trust.
Bullets in
Seth
everyone's
Payne.
Brain.
Yeah. All right. Let's.
Here.
What did I do?
Here.
Dilly dilly.
How did I get in? This.
All right, we are done. We are out of time, but just for today, not out of time.
We'll,
overall,
we'll see.
We'll see. We'll find out.
There's
a
lot of bullets flying.
A lot of bullets flying. All right, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey Sports Station.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, they steal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to. You steal legit. Taco to go, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99. Taco to go.